Just came back, I heard, from Europe. Finished his graduate studies in theology. Well, I let him express himself. The words of consecration make no change in the bread and wine. So I told all the priests, including this inquisitor, I thought to myself, this is crazy, riding all night on the bus without sleep. Why not call up the bishop and tell him I missed my flight? I'll be there a day late. Then I turned to the priest. Father, now I realize why the bishop wanted me to speak to you priests. This, comma, this is the crisis in the Catholic Church. Am I clear? Thank you for coming to class. God bless you. All I can tell you is the Catholic Church, Detroit Archdiocese, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, will survive only where there are still bishops, priests, and the faithful who believe that Christ at the Last Supper gave the apostles the power to change bread and wine into his own living flesh and blood. And this was the concern of Paul the Sixth. As we know, Paul the Sixth published another historic document, Humanae Vitae. Humanae Vitae, dealing with sexual morality, Mysterium Fidei, dealing with the heart of Catholic Christianity. Number 15. Does the Pope encourage what are called communal masses to the disparagement of private masses? The answer is absolutely no. Just the opposite. Says Pope Paul the Sixth, it is not allowable to emphasize what is called the communal mass to the disparagement of masses celebrated in private. Now, as you read this document, Mysterium Fidei, and go behind it to see what is on the Pope's mind, then you look around at what's going on in the Church today. Only one word does justice to this document. yet is prophetic. Behind, this is the Pope, this mistaken emphasis is the error of claiming that a congregation is essential for the valid and fruitful celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass. There is such widespread emphasis on togetherness in the Eucharistic liturgy that the essence of the sacrifice of the Mass is either forgotten or even denied. This essence is Christ offering himself to his Heavenly Father, which is signified by the double consecration. Let's be a little more clear. We know that the world was redeemed by Christ's death on Calvary. The moment Christ died, the world was redeemed, and the church came into existence. Three things at once: Christ's death, redemption, and the church came into existence. Consequently, the essence of the Mass is in that double consecration. You might ask yourself, why did Christ separately consecrate first the bread and then the wine? In order to symbolize his death by shedding his blood on the cross. Christ could not die of any disease, any virus. Christ could only die by a death inflicted on him from the outside. Christ then died because, literally, he bled to death. The Mass, therefore, remember, the Mass is a sacrament. In other words, the sacrifice of the Mass is also the sacrament of the Mass. Meaning what? Just because Mass is offered, just because Mass is offered, graces are conferred. Grace, if you wish, emanates. Grace is poured out on the whole world. Every Mass benefits the whole human race. The moment that double consecration takes place, that's it. Again, the Holy Father. There is such a widespread emphasis on togetherness, and this is so true that in, I think, many nominally Catholic circles, that togetherness has almost replaced the essence of the sacrament itself. The Holy Father, Paul VI, emphasizes Christ is really offering himself in the Mass. No less truly than he offered himself on Calvary. Let's be clear. Jesus Christ is really present the moment the priest pronounces the words, "This is my body." Christ becomes present on the altar. Then, the next consecration. "This is my blood." The double consecration is the sacrament of the Mass. Indicating that if Christ could die, he would. He is willing to die. How do we know that? Because that's what the Church tells us. In other words, Christ is really, truly on the altar. First consecration, he's present. The second consecration, he's present. Why the double consecration? To signify that being on the altar and with his human nature, he has a human will. In other words, he is ready and willing to die if he could. He can no longer die. He is now glorified. But he is ready to die. His readiness to die constitutes the essence here of Christ's sacrifice, because his will is ready to offer himself to his Heavenly Father. We conclude the presence and participation of the faithful in the Mass is certainly beneficial to the participants. By all means, and the more actively they participate, the better. But their presence is not essential for the Eucharistic sacrifice. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of clarity of faith in what constitutes the sacrifice of the Mass. Participation by the faithful, of course, is eminently beneficial to them. In other words, far better. We get much more grace from being physically present at the sacrifice of the Mass than by being, well, elsewhere. But the Mass is offered, and the graces are conferred by what the present Pope calls the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass, just because one priest is offering the Eucharistic sacrifice. How important is a sacramental sign in the Holy Eucharist? First, what does Eucharistic sign mean, or sacramental sign? Well, everything external that symbolizes the Holy Eucharist. Let's first look at the answer. It is certainly important as a means of signifying that the Eucharist is a sacrament which confers divine grace. However, and now the Pope comes in, however, he warns about exaggerating this sacramental sign. the gestures, the movements, the vesture, the words, so many things that are associated with the Holy Eucharist. And the Pope warns about exaggerating these sacramental signs. The danger is that people will come to identify the external symbolism with the internal reality. And that is exactly what's happened. And consequently, I don't have a watch. What time is it? What time is it now?
3:30.
Then I think that be without explaining, let's go through number 17 because it is so important. Question. Can the mystery of transubstantiation be disclosed without reference to the teaching of the Council of Trent? You might wonder why Pope Paul VI brings this in immediately after what he has just said. And the reason, of course, is that the temptation to be preoccupied with the external gestures, call them the symbolism, can make people ignore even to the point of denying because they don't understand the eternal reality behind the symbolism. So the answer is no. The Council of Trent gives us the most authoritative and definite teaching on the meaning of transubstantiation. According to the Council of Trent, transubstantiation is a change of the whole substance of bread and wine into the whole Christ. The exact words of the council could not be more clear. Quote, it has always been the conviction of the church and this Holy Council now again declares that by the consecration of the bread and wine, a change takes place in which the whole substance of bread is changed into the substance of the body of Christ our Lord, and the whole substance of the wine into the substance of his blood. This change the Holy Catholic Church fittingly and properly names transubstantiation. As we go on, we'll see more clearly and more deeply what the transubstantiation really and fully means. But one thing is at the heart of our faith. The substance, that which makes bread, bread, that which makes wine, wine, is replaced, displaced. The verb changed is almost too weak. Is replaced by the living body and blood of Christ. What remains? Only the external properties of what had been bread and what had been wine. In other words, by the words of consecration, what had been bread and had been wine are no longer present on the altar. Yet the substance of the bread and the substance of the wine is replaced by, the Church teaches, the same council defines, the totus Christus, the whole Christ. Everything which makes Christ Christ replaces what had been bread and what had been wine. And this unquestionably, in academically sophisticated countries like ours, where the annual average is 5 million Americans on college campuses, this is the capital T, capital H, capital E. This is the heart of the crisis in the Catholic Church in America. And of course, it takes faith to believe what the senses do not perceive. Well, that is why, as I have found out, that is why those who have the Catholic faith must grow. They've got no choice. They must grow in their understanding of the Catholic faith as their knowledge of everything else increases. Otherwise, the inevitable happens. The same mind academically sophisticated to the nth degree and everything else, unless that mind penetrates into the meaning of what we believe, that mind will inevitably, these are Christ's words, inevitably discard the faith as a remnant of one's childhood. With that, I think we should take our break. I have 25 to 4, see about a 10 or so minute break. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.